prescribed is transcribed.
Good evening. I'm Jerry G. Bishop, and this is the famed split-level dungeon studio where, many years ago, the legendary Sven Gulli burst into television prominence. Even today, many fondly remember Sven Gulli providing the same classic entertainment as such time-honored shows as Hello Larry, My Mother the Car, or Celebrity Pin Spotting. But then, one day, at his peak, Sven Gulli simply dropped from sight. The rumors were many. That he'd dyed his hair and changed his name to Phil Donahue. That he'd gone on to a rewarding career in motel management. No one knew for sure. And yet, one rumor still is whispered among an uneasy populace. What if there were the same situation as in the past with the son of Frankenstein? The son of Dracula? Sanford and Son? Could there exist somewhere, somehow, the son of Sven Gulli?
Hey, Dad, can I borrow the keys to the hearse tonight? Yeah! Ah, thank you. Ah, good evening. I am the son of Sven Gulli.
Well, I didn't think you were Rula Lenska.
Well, it's an honest mistake.
Day player on 720. WGN, since his beginnings in broadcasting, all the way back in Park Ridge, Illinois, multiple Emmy Award winner and recipient of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences Silver Circle Award, Best Horror Show Host from the Rondo Awards, among others, Rich Coase has been entertaining generations of fans now for 35 years. And Sven Gulli has been the premier horror show icon of Chicago since Rich became the handpicked successor to the original Sven Gulli back in the late 70s. And since then, billions of viewers have become fans, airing every Saturday night on MeTV at 9 p.m. Central. And now the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago is honoring Rich in an event, an exhibit unveiling, costume contest, a classic Sven movie, and more. And to talk about it all is my buddy, all the way from Berwyn. All right. Is my buddy Rich Coase. Hey, Rich.
Hi, Dave. You read all that without cue cards. I'm amazed.
Well, thanks for handing me your introduction when you walked in with your entourage. That was very nice of you.
The $5 bill was attached, too.
It was attached. 35 years since your very first show. That is pretty incredible and pretty unheard of. You know, more popular even now that you're national.
It is pretty amazing to me. And, you know, people always say, oh, did you ever think that when you started, you'd still be doing it? And I was like, you know, I was just so thrilled to have a job. And I don't think I ever expected that I'd still be doing the character 35 years after I started.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
And still as funny as ever, I'm telling you.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say. What? I noticed in listening to that, you know, boy, I used to lay that accent on pretty thick. And occasionally somebody will say to me, well, how come you don't do the accent anymore? And I say, well, I've been in this country long enough now that I've lost
right,
a lot of the accent.
Right.
Just like Lawrence Welk. No, wait, he didn't.
He didn't really lose, no.
Thank you, Bobby.
No.
And Sissy.
What horror movie shows did you grow up watching in Chicago that provided you with some influence?
Well, obviously, the main thing was the creature features that Channel 9 ran, which is a lot of the same movies that I run now from the Universal Studios. And then, of course, I barely remember this, but I remember being about 4 years old and being over at some relative's house and seeing the original Shock Theater with Marvin on
Terry Bennett.
Channel 7. And then, of course, there was some program called Screaming Yellow Theater, hosted by Jerry G. Bishop as Sven Gulli. And that was pretty much where the whole basis was set.
But, I mean, you know, there was other shows, too, like NBC had Thrillerama, Channel 44 had Monster Rally. Mm-hmm. Like, but this one, for some reason, caught your eye. And you started working as a staff writer for the late Jerry G. Bishop, right?
Yeah, I was actually a fan of his from his radio and TV work. And he, you know, we used to read jokes that people sent in, so I sent him some jokes. And as it went along, he knew I was a student at Northwestern at the time, and he said, you know, I noticing from some of the stuff you've written here, could you write a parody of such and such a commercial for me? And eventually he kept giving me these assignments, and he volunteered to come on my WNUR, that's it,
okay,
at Northwestern radio program. And he said, why don't you come on down to the station sometime? And I did, and eventually I was coming down there every week. and ended up working with him.
That's very cool. And then 6 years passed since the original show went off the air. What made you want to like do this and revive the character originally?
Basically, Jerry had that idea earlier. He had talked to somebody here in town at one station and who had asked him, maybe you just want to do it as a summer lark, you know, just for a while as a fill-in during the summer. And he said, well, maybe we could do that. And then he said, I don't necessarily want to dress up in the stuff again. He said, I think that someday, and this is the truth, he said, someday I might want to run for office in the city or something. Well, and I'd hate for them to, you know, be pulling up pictures of me as Sven Gulli and using that, you know, to sling mud. He said, but you could be the son of Sven Gulli. It was his idea. And I was, you know, really flattered that he decided I could handle that. And we had some false starts on it. Nothing ever came of it. And when he was moving out to San Diego, he said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'd like to pitch some local station on doing a show. And he said, I tell you what, if you want to try to do the son of Sven Gulli thing, you have my blessing. And it was, you know, extremely generous of him. And eventually, after a few strange happenstances, I actually ended up on the air.
Wow. I mean, it's been a favorite of mine. I was a teenager when it premiered, and now my kids.
You mean you're not a teenager now?
Well, in my own head, I am.
Okay.
Exactly. But the commentary, the bits, the style that's so vintage vaudevillian, the classic slapstick are just laugh out loud funny. I mean, even if you're showing a movie that'll just scare the pants off you, you know, you just get lightened up by the load.
Keep your pants on, would you?
Keep your pants on. Exactly. Now, are there other local hosts out there anymore that do this? I mean, you're a national guy now, but I mean, is there other guys around the country that still do this?
There are. There are only a very, very few that are actually on broadcast TV now. Yeah. Most of them do this on public access or on the internet. I have to say that I've heard that because of our success nationally, there seems to be a slight resurgence of stations putting on hosted movies. In fact, even bringing up old tapes of old hosts and putting those on.
Now, how has it changed since you've gone national? I mean, you've got a massive fan base you've always had, but now it's national.
Well, one thing you have to do is obviously not do as many Chicago-oriented jokes. Now, sure. I've always argued that you can still do some because, you know, David Letterman's in New York and he does jokes about New York.
Sure.
And you just have to kind of also, there are certain things now because we want to rerun certain shows. You have to be careful who you mention and how you mention them.
When Jane Byrne.
Well, and also when there are people who, this is sad to say, might pass away, you have to be careful and think, maybe I better not make that joke because when we rerun it, they might not be in too good a shape.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what, when we come back, we'll talk about the upcoming museum event, the new exhibit that everyone is invited to attend, and much more with Sven Gulli, Rich Coase. But first, let's take a quick look at your Labor Day traffic. Here's Leslie. State player on 720 WGN, and we're talking to the legendary Rich Coase as he celebrates 35 years of Sven Gulli with a new event and exhibit just announced. So Sandy was just down here from the newsroom.
Yeah.
And she showed me before we actually got on the air that she was so excited, Rich, that you're here, because she pulled out of her purse her keychain, which has a rubber chicken at the end of it.
I've had those. I've had those for probably 15 years or more. And I was telling you that, you know, years ago I used to do children's theater in Drury Lane Theater on the South Side. And we always seemed to work in a rubber chicken in the show somehow. And I think it was a little, you know. So I bow to you, sir. We are paying homage to Sven.
We are.
This is amazing. Yes.
Well, having that chicken on your key ring is also useful as a defense mechanism, you know.
Poke
some people have
out.
To throw them.
Some people have whistles or mace. You got a rubber chicken.
You know, and too. People go, what? Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you are going to be honored, by the way, at the Broadcast Museum where most
I
folks
am?
Know. You are. It's a breaking news.
What a shock.
Where's our breaking news information?
Wait a minute. Let me get that in there.
Yeah, get that in the newscast, will you, please? Well, most folks know I've been an active member of the board for the last decade, but it's Friday, October 10th, and doors open at 6. Event begins at 7 at the Broadcast Museum at 360 North State Street in Chicago. And it'll include, you know, welcoming Neil Sabin, who's the vice chairman of Weigel Broadcasting, will be there. There'll be an exclusive interview with you. And there's a new Sven Gulli exhibit, which I'm really, really excited about opening up at the museum because you have a new coffin. You've had it for the last year, and they're building you a new set. So really, all of the original set pieces in the coffin are going to be right across from Bozo Circus and Garfield Goose and Ray Rayner and Bill Jackson and Cartoon Town and the Dirty Dragon. Very cool stuff. But let's first talk about the coffin, the original.
Yeah, the original coffin actually was the second coffin that Jerry G. Bishop used as Svengoolie, and originally had his face painted on the front of it. And it stayed in my basement for several years until I got the job. And then we brought it in. And for about, I think, the first 6 months, maybe, it still had the Jerry Svengoolie face on it. And then they suggested at work that, well, you might want to make it look like you. So I actually painted the image of my face that's on there. I painted on there.
So from a scientist's perspective, if we started peeling the layers off, we'd find Jerry
underneath, you'd find the Mona Lisa. Exactly.
The Mona Lisa.
And the funny thing is, obviously, this was a beautiful set piece built by the stagehands over at WFLD, but it wasn't meant to last, you know, 35 years.
Most coffins aren't.
Well, that's a different story entirely.
Exactly.
But people would joke, because how come when you're closing it, you've got to, like, lift it up so it closes up and the hinges and everything? It's because it's falling apart.
Yeah.
So
we noticed that in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. Where the folks, Neil Saban, said, you know, maybe we should have a new one built. And we were very fortunate to get the Acme Design Company to build the brand new one. And, of course, we had talked before, David, you and I, about the possibility of putting the old coffin in there. And now this is just – it's really a great honor for me to have that go into the museum. And I think it's so cool that now – people had always asked, oh, can we come watch a taping? And we're not really set up for that. But now people will be able to come into the museum and actually see the original coffin.
So we should have a basket of rubber chickens outside the exhibit that people can just throw at your stand-up.
And when the door will be there, so you'll have to have hands at the door.
I love that. So. Yes, the door at the end of the gig, and then some of the other walls, the media wall, I think, is going to be there as well. So it's really a lot of the original set pieces, which is really cool. Then there's going to be a Halloween costume contest. So you can dress up. You don't have to dress up, but people can dress up for this. And tickets are already quickly moving after the announcement in Rob Feeder's column on Friday morning, which is totally cool. And it's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for all the fans that grew up with you to look at the original, you know, to check out the original set pieces, to meet you, to really kind of hear your story. And then there's going to be a Svengoolie feature presentation being shown as well.
Yes, so we're working on that right now. I've got a movie in mind that I think would be perfect, and maybe it'll be a surprise.
Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah, exactly. No, Fried Green Tomatoes.
Fried Green Tomatoes would be
great. Exciting. You know, it's funny because you were talking about hearing my story. A lot of times when I come on and talk to you and Bill and Wendy, I always feel like I tell the same stories. It's like I'm turning into Grandpa Simpson. And then I kicked Hitler in the face, and then we used to have a thing called a washing machine.
Of course. But this is a great story. I mean, I love hearing, you know, how you got started, because you're really, and I say this with all due respect, you're kind of a rare breed. I mean, from the days of Bob Bell and Bozo and Fraser Thomas and Ray Rayner and Bill Jackson, I mean, from, you know, we grew up with you from a local perspective. Again, now you're national, but you're one of the few that are out there that are still putting on a great, great show and still having fun.
Well, it's nice of you to mention me with those other names who, as far as I'm concerned, are legendary, and I don't think I belong with them. But so many things are happening this year. You know, both the state legislature, now the city of Chicago legislature, have named this Halloween, October 31st, as Svengoolie Rich Coes Day in the state and in
awesome.
The city.
Well deserved.
And then we've got the museum event, and I start to feel like, is this stuff they do when you're going to be kind of phased out? It makes me a little bit nervous,
I have to say. Gone by the end of the year. No, not at all. Not at all. It's great to salute a legend. They're doing that for Don Rickles right now. But he's near death.
But he is a legend. No. Okay, hockey puck. But he's nice work.
He's 88. But, I mean, look at this. I mean, that's a great thing that's happening for you. Now, will you be making appearances in the coffin at the museum on the weekends?
I think they were going to have me stuffed and placed inside it.
Okay,
yes.
We'll make sure we do that.
Right.
General admission to this event, $35. It can be purchased online, folks, at museum.tv. It's museum.tv, and we'll put that in the podcast as well at wgnradio.com. There's also a private reception before the actual event, you know, and all the proceeds benefit the museum. It's $100 if you want to go, you know, have a private reception with Rich. But again, $35 for the general public. And again, interview with you. You get the exhibit, get to see the exhibit for the first time. It's a Halloween costume contest. There's a movie that's going to be shown. It's really going to be a fun evening.
I think it's going to be great. It's going to be kind of overwhelming for me, I think. And I want to tell you, if you're going to show up in costume, please do. Because I know a lot of times when you say, oh, it's a costume contest, people go, oh, I don't think I want to dress up. Come on. Have some guts. Show up. I have the feeling there's going to be a few people probably coming dressed as me. How many bets on that?
Yeah, I'm gonna bet that that's probably the case.
All right,
I'm gonna say
as long
five.
As I'll wear a carnation, so you know which one is the real me. Okay?
Yeah, just so I can recognize you. All right, now what else do you have coming up on the show over the next few weeks? You know, you're always showing because now this is your season. I mean, really, Labor Day kind of kicks off the big time for Sven Gulli till the end of October.
We've got some movies we've never run before. We're going to be showing along the way, by the way, some of the stuff from the live talk show that we did over at the Flashback Weekend Horror Convention with Robert Englund dressed in his complete Freddy Krueger makeup. So that's all going to be coming up later this month.
Very cool. Yeah. Be looking forward to that. It's a perfect opportunity to get together with Rich as we celebrate 35 years as Sven Gulli at the Museum of Broadcast Communications Friday, October 10th at 7 p.m. Tickets are now on sale at museum.tv. And for more on Sven Gulli, including upcoming shows, appearances, the only place to purchase Sven Gulli glow-in-the-dark T-shirts and collectible buttons and more, you can go to svengulli.com and also on Facebook and Twitter. And again, you can see Sven every night at at 9 on MeTV and Encore Presentations on The U Saturday mornings at 11. Rich, why don't you hang out and we'll talk to Skilling in just a few minutes.
Oh, great.
It's Dave Blyron for Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. And joining us along with Rich Coase is America's weatherman, Tom Skilling.
Do you know what? I have to apologize to Sandy. I said it was Judy. It's Sandy. Sandy, I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, you know,
I owe
okay.
you one here.
Well, all right. Well, you know, we've seen each other over at your Fermilab.
Have you really?
I was there the last time. I was interviewed by WGN-TV, and I won one of those radio things, those weather things.
See, how cool is that?
That is very
so
cool.
So excited. But no, that's a fabulous program. We've
Thank you, Sandy, and how nice of you to show up, and how miserable of me to mess your name up. I tell you, I'm really embarrassed.
And the funny thing is, my last name is the one everybody usually messes up.
Right. Yeah, leave it to me to mess up your first name. Yeah. Well, Sandy, a pleasure to meet you by way of the radio here, and after having met you over at Fermi.
Yeah.
And Dave, good to talk to you.
Yeah, great. You know what I said? We've known each other almost 10 years. We've actually never talked on the air.
No.
Ever. What a pleasure.
What a pleasure on this end, Dave. And you do such wonderful work down at the museum.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Really. It's always fun to go down there. And what wonderful programs. That is a little gem in Chicago's crown. There's no question about it. Our Museum of Broadcast Communications.
And Rich Coase is going to be honored, and he's with
us,
too.
Say hello, Rich.
How are you, Tom? It's good to talk
Rich,
to you.
Rich, it is good to talk to you. I'm telling you something. You know, Dave, you remember those Emmy Award programs? And Rich would get up. And I'll tell you, you waited for him to get up and do his portion of the program because he would always question what you had just eaten for dinner, you know, which we all were doing.
I kind of remember Rich dressing up as Janet Davies and Janet Davies dressing up as Rich.
You wouldn't bring that up.
Do you remember that?
That one I must have missed. But, it would work. Rich could pull it off.
Every time I talk to Tom, I always feel that it's necessary for me to once again apologize to him for my tenure as a weatherman over at WFLD.
You did. Because,
did you do that, Rich?
It's, you know, you're one of these people that no matter what you do, it works, and you do it beautifully. I'm telling you, you have nothing to apologize for, but it shows how gracious you are that you would do that, but there's no need to do it. You did a wonderful job.
Oh, well, and I have to say, we still occasionally will rerun a bit that you did for us where Tom is not only predicting the weather, but he's actually controlling it.
Which we all know is true, by the way.
Yeah, it is true, but it was so funny. You did such a great job for us, Tom.
That was fun. It was great having you over. And, Rich, I'll tell you, you sound wonderful, healthy, and I'm so glad.
Because we were
worried about you when you had the little heart issue, and that's not a
he looks great. He looks great. I mean, he's
for
lost
those
weight,
of you who
fabulous.
Don't have your radio tuned well enough to see me, just take their word for it. But thank you. That's so nice
you
of
are,
you to say,
You
Tom.
Are an absolute treasure, and and I'm so glad you're healthy.
He thank looks great, you. And he's had some work done.
Oh, I have not.
Really?
Oh, that is so mean.
What was it done on?
I don't. My know. Garage.
Oh,
we needed something
see.
Done. And,
all right.
You know, it finally was taken care of.
You had a little brow lift, didn't you?
Yeah, I stole them from a store down the street.
Okay,
brow lift.
I'll tell you, Rich is. You know, Dave, isn't he? Isn't he something?
He's a gem.
He is the nicest
Absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely.
And, everybody loves him. He's like Oh, I don't know. The only thing I can compare him to in terms of popularity is Bozo the Clown.
And I said the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Anywhere you go. I mean, you know, I can imagine traveling around with Rich. He must be besieged everywhere.
There's an entourage with him right now. Right?
Mostly people who I owe money to, but for the most part.
Law enforcement and stuff like
especially
that.
Especially law enforcement,
yes,
Tom.
Right.
Of course, of course. You know, we were just lamenting about the fact that Labor Day is kind of the end of summer, but it's really not the end of summer. We got three weeks left, Tom.
Oh, yeah. You know, we may have a nighty on Thursday, and it looks like while the weekend will have a little kind of hint of autumn to it, we could warm up close to 90 again Tuesday, Wednesday next week. So we're not done with this yet. You know, it's interesting. We closed the book on summer, and this will surprise a lot of folks. The summer actually, in terms of temperature, was normal. We were 1/10 of a degree at O'Hare below normal, and at Midway it was exactly normal.
Wow.
And everybody may say, hey, that can't be right, because, you know, most of us thought summer, you know, went by and we didn't have one.
Tom, was the lake temperature lower than normal for
a
summer?
It was, to start with, and that's part of what the problem was. You know, it was a holdover from that cold, long, persistent winter we had.
Sure.
But where it was different temperature-wise, we only had 390s officially at O'Hare and 6 at Midway, and you know, at O'Hare you see 17, at O'Hare at Midway you get about 23 in a typical year, but we're not done yet. The rain was another story. We had over 2 feet of rain at Midway Airport, which is more than a foot above normal, and it's the wettest it's ever been since observation started at Midway in 1928. So everybody who's bailed a basement or seen the street flood will identify with that.
Well, we got 3 weeks left. We're going to enjoy every minute of it.
We will, yeah.
All right, Tom, thanks for hanging with us for a bit. And, Rich, thank you as well, buddy.
Well, Dave, thank you.
Good to talk to you, Dave. And you too, Rich.
Good talking to you, Tom. All right, thanks, Mayor Rahm Emanuel up next. But first, let's take a quick look at traffic. Here's Leslie.